Hello, welcome to the Practice of Living Awareness. Nice to be with you again for a Friday conversation with Jake. I'm Steve. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Steve, it's good to be back.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking with you about this. What shall we say? This auspicious week in the Practice of Living Awareness. It's heart-mind, which is an interesting term. What do you make of it, heart, mind?
It's where feelings and thoughts come into the middle ground. They kind of like meet each other.
Thoughts the product of mind and feelings the product of the heart. Be nice, right, if all feelings were actually a product of the heart and not other aspects of our being.
For sure, I think the two produce each other.
One I'm quite fond of this week, heart mind. It seems like we move through smile and then tip of the nose and flow, and it sets up a real groundwork for training. You know, you have to be open, you have to learn to concentrate, and you got to just get with the flow of what's arising, what's here, and how do I stay with it. Coming back again, and when you notice you're off and criticizing yourself and being awful and not being in your heart at all, coming back and getting back in the flow and using those tools, either a smile to just be open and receptive, and then tip of the nose to find some stability. And then certainly we follow that with soften, open, receive, and release, which is just kind of a repeat, really, just to get you really secure with what you can do with your time in meditation and what your mind's capable of and with what your choices produce. So then I just find it interesting that all of a sudden we land at this place called heart-mind, which seems kind of abstract, but yet it's everything, you know, as far as I'm concerned. It's everything because in my mind, in my heart, this idea of heart is really about love, and this idea of mind is really about wisdom. And I would say a byproduct of meditation is, or byproducts of meditation are love, which is an understanding of the way things are connected and how we fit into a greater space, how we fit in or flow with others, and wisdom being, I found a really good, let me find it. Here is a really wonderful colleague of mine, Dorothy Riddle. I asked her once on a radio program, what is wisdom? And she said, exercising or showing deep understanding, keen discernment, and sound judgment. But that sounds a lot like meditation, right? I mean, that's what we're doing in meditation. We're really sort of generating deep understanding, the ability to discern, keen discernment like that, and sound judgment. So, yeah. What are your thoughts about all that? I just went off on a big speech on.
To interrupt, you don't hear that dog barking, do you?
That's all right. We love dogs. Dogs can.
Okay.
Dogs can bark.
Apparently, there's a new dog under my apartment. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a perfect opportunity for loving kindness meditation, which we'll get to in a bit.
Yeah, I think the wisdom comes naturally when we're investigating like what is the nature of reality itself and all the aspects of it. So the more we get to know like the nature of thoughts, we see it's like it's not as substantial as we think and what it really is. And I think when we start to see how connected we are to each other and reality, then the heart automatically kind of kicks in and you start to have love for everything that you start to notice. But do you think we have to conjure that up sometimes, our heart, and we have to really, well, that's where loving kindness probably comes into play, I would guess.
You know, I honestly would say that, yes, we do. And I would follow that by saying, if we paid attention on a daily basis in our lives, how much our experience is steeped in judgment and criticism and violence, even in terms of just watching television what shows are on, how the news. I mean, even the news has become just opinions. I shouldn't. Well, that's a big blanket statement. That's an opinion. But how much we're really sort of steeped in harshness and really extremes of opinion and emotion and adrenaline, you know? So to me, love and loving kindness is really a learn, something we can, and I mean, science has proven that we literally can learn this. It is trainable that we can unlearn this sort of harshness that is around us. But even, you know, I think we're hardwired. You know, we've got this negative bias, which you and I think have talked about, that the brain is always looking for danger. The brain is always looking for what's wrong. The brain is always looking for, oh no, this could go wrong, as a way to just protect ourselves. And that's just, you know, aspects of our brain that we've outgrown in an evolutionary sense. So I think even with our brains being hardwired for like negative default tendencies, and then the ways in which we just as people can be so cruel and awful and hideous with our opinions and criticisms and judgments, that I do think, yes, sometimes we just have to sit down and go, wow, what is it to be kind? And what is it to be non-judgmental? And we say, you know, you and I say in our practice a lot, gentle. You know, what is it to be gentle, and what does gentleness facilitate, or what does it manifest? Hard, right?
Yeah, and I would say that the all the Buddhist meditations based on compassion are based on the fact that that's our innate nature. It's not learning something new, it's reopening something we already have. So even the most cruel person cares about something. It might be like something small that they don't even notice that they enjoy and love, but there's something we all love. You just have to kind of figure out what it is. Sometimes it's not even a person, it could have to be an animal or something. But I think then to take that warmth and bring it to other people, to yourself and to the world, is a powerful thing. We don't usually when we love something, we want more almost, and we want that object that we love, instead of sitting with the love itself and kind of feel what does that feel like to have, and to kind of use that energy as a to permeate everything we feel and appreciate life. I mean, there's an irony that I haven't been able to do that the past few weeks, but I know that there's an innate nature in me to just love and to sit in that warmth, and that's possible. Just sometimes it's very difficult to conjure up or to find, I guess. Sometimes you feel hopeless, like you can't love anything, but it's not true. That's just the mind playing games on us. Feeling like nothing matters, I think, implies that the heart is missing. A lot of people tell me that, like, what's the point in life? And like almost too much wisdom of understanding, like, emptiness can be depressing in a way if you don't have the heart. I think they do balance each other. So when people say, what's the point of like life and whatnot? It's meaningless. Once they realize all these pleasures are temporary, I think they're missing the heart. That's the meaning. Like, that's what gives, passion. It is a good thing in a way. Kind of drives you to help and to make something out of your life is that heart, to figure out what your drive is, though. We all have
Wow.
unique ones. I've been very heavy into like keep meditation simple, keep it about like what is, experience, and just staying with your being, not doing. And loving kindness is a little bit of doing, and it is a little bit of kind of manipulating your thoughts, which I for a while was strongly against, because I wanted to see the purity of thoughts and allow them to be their own thing, because positive thinking sometimes only goes so far. But I've realized recently that
Did you just say positive thinking will only take you so far? Ah. All right, that's for another conversation. In private. No, go on. I'm kidding.
So part of me is it's difficult for me to do the practice itself because it feels forced. It's actually easy for me to do it if I experience some kind of lovely interaction with a human. Then to do the practice and think of that person makes it so much easier. But if I just sit there alone, it feels kind of forced, because I'm like trying to imagine people I care about and care about them when I really don't feel very open and kind in that moment. So it's hard for me to do. It's like a it, to conjure up is just more difficult for me for some reason, I guess. It feels kind of like a Hallmark card.
Sounds like quite
But
a blessing, though, because we have access to people, most of us, and it's nice that it's easier for you to do that around another person and like sort of capture that quality of love between you and another. Yeah, I hear you.
that's where I've seen the effect of it is like when you have love for someone, and I mean like even a stranger, if like at my work or something, if you have love for them, it changes the whole interaction with that person. And I see the difference of when I'm shut down and when I'm loving a stranger. And knowing that that affects my whole perception makes me think more, oh, our thoughts do kind of matter more than I realize. Like positive thinking is not as like crapshoot as I thought it was, but it is a it's the atmosphere we bring to the person is huge. So if we can conjure that up as a habit or whatever you want to call it, I think that can really change our reality. Like if our thoughts create our emotions, then why not bring about some loving thoughts and replace those old negative ones to have some sort of a warmth to everyone we meet, including ourselves. It's hard to bring it on yourself though sometimes.
In meditation, if you really are aware and pay attention, boy, do we just put ourselves through the ringer often during a sitting. I mean, we're hardest on ourselves in every way. Sometimes even just trying to sit in an uncomfortable position where your body is screaming at you to move and adjust yourself so you can be comfortable. It's an act of kindness to just stand up or stretch or move your legs. You know, even something as simple as how I'm going to sit for 10 minutes, we even torture ourselves with that. So,
Yes.
and criticism.
Oh my God, yeah,
Boy,
we're
oh
very,
boy.
very, which I go on about that, but
I will have a quote from a little bit from Sharon Salzberg. I want to have all these quotes because I think this is such a rich
no, she's
topic.
perfect for Meta. She's like
Yeah, she's the
the
goddess
Lord. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the word.
of loving kindness. She says
Yeah.
it's the ability to take some risks with our awareness. I love that, you know, a little sense of adventure. To look at ourselves and others with kindness instead of reflexive criticism. To include in our concern those to whom we normally pay no attention. To care for ourselves unconditionally instead of thinking, I will love myself as long as I never make a mistake. And, you know, we do that all the time. Then she goes on to say, it's the ability to gather our attention and really listen to others, even those we've written off as not worth our time. It is the ability to see the humanity in people we don't know and the pain in the people we find difficult. Woo!
That's powerful.
And there's wisdom. And see, there's the beauty of heart mind to me can really be translated as love wisdom. As long as you're not talking about love as a sentimental kind of love, but
Yeah.
love as that which we have in common, our sense of group, our sense of unity, that our sense of interconnectedness and interdependence, which another word for that is our humanity. You know, to see the humanity in people and that we don't normally consider, and the pain in people we find difficult. So that's a big part of a meta meditation is to find someone that may have crossed you or you find difficulty with or that your heart is closed around, you know, someone who may have hurt you or that even to bring them into your heart space feels rough, you know, and to find a way to offer them some goodness. I love that you mentioned the Buddha earlier because, you know, that's it's the heavenly abodes, you know, the four practices, which are loving kindness and this met there's a meditation, this meta meditation, which was offered this week, is to generate this loving kindness, this very specific way of meditating. And then compassion is another heavenly abode. Sympathetic joy.
All the immeasurables, right?
They're infinite, which is
That's what they say.
yes, and equanimity. So it's saying we have the potential, we have infinite potential to access these things: compassion, loving kindness, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, which means to be really in a place of balance, of giving and receiving, of being sort of a. I see equanimity as being like this fulcrum, sort of you're this channel that's just poised as a receiver and giver of all
Yeah,
things.
conduit, I
Yeah,
feel.
which is lovely, which really speaks of heart mind, right? Because I think the mind and the heart are all four of those things. And what's interesting is that with at least within the Buddhist teaching, the practice of one-pointed concentration then allows these qualities, which are innate, which are infinite, to arise and to actually transform the heart. I do find it interesting that within a loving kindness meditation, you really do have to stay stable. You really do have to, it's not about going off on a storyline of picturing this person you love, wishing them well, seeing them in peace, creating a story about what they'd look like in ease in a flower with kittens. Like, it's just not about that. It's about the energy or the quality behind those words, and can you sit offering that in a way, in an open-hearted way, your heart will be transformed. But it requires one to be quite stable.
If I ever do loving kindness, first I sit for 5 minutes or so to just be with my breath, because I have to be grounded while I do it.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Or what happens?
Well, you get lost in a tangent in your mind of something, but it feels even more like you're just not with the words. You're just saying them. You're just going through the motions, which still can happen if I'm grounded, but try to be nice to myself in the process either way.
It just goes to show, what it's really generating. When we offer, when we bring ourselves and we say, I'm going to be nice to myself for, what, 3 minutes? How long does it take to do a few stanzas? How difficult that is. Or to watch when we bring up somebody that, has crossed us, to not get jacked up, to not get angry, or, it's easy to, for your emotions to take over and just get critical and judgy. And be just a waste of time. Why say these things if you're not really there and open-hearted? So I want to read one more quote that's really touched me lately. And it's by C.S. Lewis. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable.
Wow, that's a good one. Like a
Yeah.
coffin. I can relate with that one. I mean, the option to close our hearts is always open. And I recently saw myself automatically doing it, and I reversed it by opening, and it hurt. But I knew that that's the only option I have. I don't want to close it, because when you close your heart off to one thing, life becomes dull. You don't, and like the same heart that has that tenderness of vulnerability and heartbreak has the same for appreciation and joy. So if you close it off from either side, you don't get anything. You can't even enjoy the
Impenetrable.
birds.
Oh, you can't enjoy the birds, yeah? Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Well said, Jake.
I just want to share a quick story of my teacher, David. I think I already told you the story, but I don't remember. So I told him for a long time, I could sit for an hour and do just awareness of the breath meditation. Like, I can do that all day long. I still get mad at myself and things happen, but I just enjoy doing it. It comes more naturally, I guess, to do that practice. But loving kindness, like 3 minutes of it, and I feel like I'm in a fire. Like, I gotta get up and go do anything else, which is interesting. So because of that, I put it off for like 3 years, I'd say. I put it off for a very long time. I was like, I'll do it another day. I don't really, it's not that important. And I told him that, like, some shame involved, and he said that I put it off for 30 years, is what he told me. Isn't
Wow.
that
Wow.
great? Yeah. Because he had the same viewpoint of like, well, what he says that at first loving kindness feels like a Hallmark card, kind of phony, and you're just like going through the motions, kind of. But he said it's insidious, which is an interesting choice of words,
Yeah.
that it slowly affects you, like becomes part of you, and all of a sudden one day you're actually wishing these people well. And you're like, where did that come from?
Wow, insidious is a strange word. I mean, it's almost
Yeah.
as if, I don't want to be nice to these people. Why would I want to be kind in my life? I just want to be in a coffin of my selfishness.
Yes. It's funny, as
Wow.
shutting down feels like the easier and safer option when
Well,
it's not.
I do appreciate that I love you, Jake. I love that you chose to say it feels like you're in a fire. Spirit fire, right? It's all about the transmutation of our being, and that is what meditation does. It transforms, it transmutes. And so I would say that being in the fire isn't such a bad thing, you know.
Oh, it's a very important thing. It's a sign that like if something I struggle with, that means it's something I need to work on usually, just in general. So I think what gets in the way is our concept of what love is supposed to be. And love is more subtle than that. And it's not this like grandiose romantic thing. It's a very more simple, almost warmth that you have for a lot of people. You don't realize it. Like, we love it's infinite. So for me, at least, letting go of what I think it means to love someone and just feeling what it is to through my personality, because everyone does it uniquely, is what kind of helps me realize that I'm capable of love, I guess. Sometimes you think you're a robot.
Love is an attractive energy. I mean, it's magnetic, not attractive as in good looking, but attractive in that it pulls things together. And in the wisdom teachings, it is the dominant vibration of our universe, the law of attraction, that like attracts like, which is why it's infinite. As beings, as human beings, is that we can find in ourselves that which connects us and attracts us to each other, and those qualities will emerge once we recognize them and acknowledge them, that we will see our similarities in each other and they will come to the surface and bring us closer. They will magnetize us and connect us with one another. So, yeah.
I want to say before we close that this does, for me, reflect on step one, where smile to bring an atmosphere of friendliness to ourselves is huge. And it's very difficult to love outwardly until we can start to love internally, like our own minds, basically. I think it's possible, it's just difficult. It makes it much easier if you can do both. They kind of balance each other. So definitely bringing to the cushion. I think you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if even if you sit and have a session where your mind is just frantic and everywhere and just you barely even notice the breath through the whole sitting, if you can get up and you had an attitude of friendliness the whole time for the most part, I think it's not a waste of a sit.
I'd say it's actually an incredibly successful sit because you have choice and you could choose to berate yourself and think it's a waste of time and never do it again, or you could use it as an opportunity, as you say, to open your heart to yourself and say, I'm glad I did that. And I'm going to be kind with myself, perhaps in this next moment and choose kindness and gentleness. Sometimes we got to go through it so that we can offer ourselves something nice.
And I think as a byproduct, that the sits will be easier and easier the kinder you are to yourself, and that concentration will come more automatically if you enjoy the sit than if you're trying to be a drill sergeant.
Hey Jake, one last thing before we go. Do you have issues with heart mind? Is that why you didn't have a meditation this week?
No, it turns
Did you
out
skip class on purpose?
What actually happens, I forgot to pay my internet bill and they shut off my internet.
So, listeners, go be kind and loving and wish yourselves peace and ease
Write poetry.
and write some poems.
It's fun.
It is. Maybe we'll have a in the interlude, you and I will just read poetry, our own and others. Sounds
Yeah.
nice. All right. Good to be with you, Jake, and thanks for listening.
You too, Steve.